We've been reporting on the Chinese government's multi-pronged effort to stem the drop on the stock market there. Today, at least, the intervention worked. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Today, prices on the Shanghai stock market reversed their dizzying plunge of yesterday, with the CSI 300 index there rising 6.4%, from making it easier to borrow to buy stock to freezing some stocks in place to directing state-owned firms to acquire stock. Waves of buying replaced waves of selling, at least four today. Chen Liu is director of the China Service at the Economist Intelligence Unit in Beijing.
It's really been an extraordinary combination of all kinds of policies that, in a way, the government is very much determined to stabilize the market. It's been a broad-based state-direct buying of equities of all sorts. We even hear a target level of the stock market. And that's, in a way, funny because 2 years ago, at the third plenum, the government said we will let the market play more of a decisive role. And what we're seeing in the past couple of weeks is really telling us policies above anything else is the most important thing.
You raised that issue of a target level for the stock market. You think of targets for currencies, but certainly in the West, the government doesn't set a target for the stock market.
Exactly. The stock market is a channel of investment. What that means is that with investment, there comes risk, there comes reward. If the government wanted to intervene, they should have done so a few months ago when it was just growing so skyrocketingly high. Of course, I can see why the government feels like it's been just dropping down so fast. And different from the previous stock market, this time there's a lot of leveraging stories. So I can see the reason why they're doing this. But again, overall, they are in a very difficult position that whatever they do, it just seems not working.
Chen Liu is director of the China Service for the Economist Intelligence Unit in Beijing. Ms. Liu, thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
Liu emphasizes that despite the collapse in the last 4 weeks, the Shanghai market is still up a dizzying 81% since this time last year. And while we're at it, the Financial Times 100 index in London is up 1.1%. The DAX in Germany is up 1.75%. The Greek government has until tonight to present to lenders a new plan for budget cutting in return for a new financial rescue. The deadline for yay or nay on that is Sunday. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.9% range now. The House of Representatives has narrowly passed a bill rewriting the federal education law known as No Child Left Behind. Many blame that 14-year-old law for ushering in an era of debilitating testing in the name of accountability. No House Democrats voted for that revised law, which would significantly reduce the role of the federal government in setting education policy. Meanwhile, debate on a bipartisan bill in the Senate continues today. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR, Amy Scott reports.
The standardized testing required by No Child Left Behind isn't going anywhere, but the new version of the law is expected to give states a lot more flexibility in how they use test scores and deal with schools that consistently fail. Lene Erickson-Hitalski is with the centrist group Third Way.
Right now, the federal government dictates how they need to respond. And under this law, the states would get to dictate how they're going to intervene in those schools.
Civil rights activists worry some states won't do enough to make sure low-income, disabled, and minority students are learning. Leticia Bustillos is with the National Council of La Raza.
Especially among our most vulnerable students, we need to make sure that we know not only how they are performing, but that action is going to be taken, especially if they are, in fact, falling behind.
The Senate bill does address what many see as over-testing in schools. States and districts, which often pile on their own tests, could use federal funds to study how they assess students and how often. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Comprehensive immigration reform. That effort seems dead in Congress, at least until after the 2016 election. But getting more legal immigrants to come work in the U.S., well, that issue is very much alive, especially for employers looking to fill hard manual labor jobs they say they can't find Americans to do now that the economy's firing on more cylinders. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Jay Williams says every year he has to jump through legal hoops to hire about 30 Latin American guest workers for his Houston area landscaping business. Because he says this is what happens when he advertises for U.S. workers.
Maybe one or two will actually show up for work, and then generally after a couple of weeks they'll go off somewhere else.
He's not surprised.
It's cold in the winter, it's hot in the summer, it's tiring and taxing, It's not something that I would want to do at any wage.
He pays more than $11 an hour. Maybe if he upped it to 15, he'd get some Americans to sign on? Not likely, says Texas-based economist Ray Perryman.
In a market economy, if you raise wages, you might find a few more people who would do this type of work. But the physical demands, we're probably going to need more of these workers than we're going to have U.S. citizens who could reasonably fill these jobs.
Well, I call this the it's hard to get good help crowd.
Dean Baker at the Progressive Center for Economic and Policy Research says the last thing we need is more immigrants to fill manual labor jobs in construction or hospitality. He says they'd just compete and drive down wages for unemployed and underemployed Americans.
People would always like their employees to work for less, but is there any evidence that employers can't find the workers they need, that wages are going really high? Do we see this in construction, manufacturing? Really just zero.
Tamar Jacoby is with Immigration Works, which advocates for small businesses. She argues legal immigrants wouldn't be competing for the same low-skilled jobs anyway.
I'm not saying Americans are lazy, or I'm not saying they don't want to do hard work. They're more educated than is appropriate for some of these jobs. Americans have the comparative advantage of they speak the language and they know how things work, and immigrants don't. What they come with is what immigrants have always brought, their strong backs.
But Jacoby says at this point, there are very few visas available for lower-skilled immigrants to come here legally, which is why she says many employers will keep pressing for immigration reform. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And as we reported in our PM show last evening, the computers at the New York Stock Exchange broke for an unnerving stretch yesterday. No trading, traders milling around confused. It's fixed now. Authorities suspect an internal software problem, not hackers. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.